Job chapter 27. I came to this, I don't know when, but came to this passage, and it just stuck out, so I'd like to start here this morning, I'll try to clear out. Hope the last time. Sorry about that. Job 27, and I want to have us to be encouraged and challenged by a statement we see here. We all know the story of Job. Nobody here would volunteer to go through what Job went through. Nobody. But, and I don't know if we could go through it as well as he went through it, right? We hope and pray that we could. But here in Job 27, verses 1 through 6, I want to read those and then we'll look at the text verse. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That's so past amazing. "And God forbid that I should justify you," talking about his so-called friends. Truthfully, his so-called friends really irritate me. But anyhow, talking about his friends. "And God forbid that I should justify you," those three guys, "till I die. I will not remove," now watch, start watching now, "I will not remove mine integrity from me," and the text verse, "my righteousness I hold fast. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My righteousness I hold fast." I hope you'll underline that. "And and will not let it go." What are some things that people like to hold on to? You have some things you like to, you have some things you are holding on to, right? And things you just won't let go. You know, maybe it's an old car. I have driven for a second car for years. I don't have it now. But an old Mustang. And so I've had some old Mustangs. Been kind of fun, Brother Ross. And I had a 91 Mustang one time. And it had less than 100,000 on when I got it. It was a convertible. Oh, that was fun. I actually took some of the school kids for rides in it, you know. And had some, oh, that was an interesting car. And I got to tell you too much about it. I won't get done here. But you, some of you guys got an old car you won't let loose of, I'll bet you. A few of you maybe have. But we have a lot of things. And some of you kids, some of you teenagers, you won't admit it, I know. But you have a toy you're just hanging on to. Yeah, I know. You'll never admit it. Some of you have a gift. You're just hanging on to that. Somebody gave you that gift, and you just, no matter what, you hang on to that gift. Some of you ladies have a piece of jewelry. You're just hanging on to that. You're not going to get rid of that. You're hanging on to it. I know how it is. Some of you have an old blanket. Don't raise your hand. Don't have to raise your hand. I can tell by looking at you who it is. That old blankie, right? Yeah. Some of you have one of those. Or old sneakers. Those things have died 10 years ago, but you won't throw them away. Oh, my word. And maybe some of you have, well, sometimes people have bubble gum. They just keep chewing it. Won't spit it out. Just keep chewing it. Won't spit that stuff out. And if you do get rid of it, don't you dare put it under the pew. Huh, you teenagers? That wouldn't happen here. I know that. Now, oh, by the way, oh, Brother Ross, hallelujah, that was so good seeing the bus kids this morning. Oh, my soul. And hearing them sing and, oh, Wonderful. Just fantastic. Fantastic. Keep the buses rolling. You've hit Brother Storm here, I'm sure. Brother, and great. That was just so great. And speaking of bubblegum, I wondered how I got off the track. And sometimes people have an old girlfriend, have a girlfriend they just won't let go of, you know. And that's not necessarily bad. And some people have money they won't let go of. That could be bad. And if God wants you to do something with it and you don't, that could be bad. Some people have time they just won't let go of, right? Some people have time, just won't let go of it. Thank you to you people. God bless you people that were down there visiting 700 homes yesterday. Wow, wow. They're not keeping their time. They're giving it to the Lord. You can't invest it any better than that. Some people have pleasure they are hanging on to. Some people have fun they're hanging on to. Some people hang on to training their kids like they want to train them, no matter what the Bible says. And things that people just won't give up. Some kids and teenagers won't give up their disobedience to their parents. They won't give that up. Or their respect to their parents. They won't give that up. I hope none of you guys are like that. I heard you a while ago. Ooh, I liked you singing a while ago. That was really good. What'd you do? Raise your Bible up? Or I don't know what you did, but I liked it. And some people won't give up skipping their schoolwork. Oh, dear. That you need to give that up, you know. Some people won't give up some things. But now, Job had a lot of things that he would not give up. But we see some of them mentioned here in the scripture. He had things he just would not give up. We read about some of those right then. And so we read in verse number 5, what does it say? Job would not give up his integrity. Verse number 5. He said, I will not remove mine integrity from me. That word integrity means wholeness. It means entireness. It means absence of ill-willed intentions. Now, remember that. I hope you remember that. What is integrity? The absence of ill-willed intentions or intentions of harm. The absence of that is integrity. And so Job had these guys badgering him. But he said, okay, I'm not going to have any intentions of harm against those guys. Integrity. And that applies to everything and everybody. That same spirit there, that integrity. There's something else Job wouldn't give up. Verse number 6, and you'll hear me repeat this quite a few times likely in the message. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. That's the message this morning. My righteousness I hold fast. My righteousness I hold fast. I want to challenge you this morning, folks, that when you get the right things in your life, you add another right characteristic, you add another right quality in your life. When you do that, don't let go of it ever. When you take a spiritual step of progress, never let it go. Never let it go. When you get the right thing in your life, don't let it go. This is Job's testimony. I will not give up any right thing that I have in my life. That is what Job is saying. And what our challenge is this morning, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you now for this opportunity. This is your word. And Lord, I just ask for the power of your Spirit to help me today. Don't let me do this myself. And then to speak to all of us, dear Lord, I pray, please help us. God, we're asking in your word, in your name, amen. Now, what does it mean to hold fast? Well, there are several meanings, and that will be the outline of my message this morning also. One meaning of the word hold is to lay hold on, to get it. You get it. You get something. You lay hold on something. I'll come back to that. It'll be a main point. Another meaning of the word hold is to make firm or strong, to strengthen. Strengthen. Once you get it, strengthen it. Strengthen it. Another meaning of that word hold is to make, it is to hold fast to anything. You hold on to it, you strengthen it, you hold, then you hold on to it. Hold on to it. Do not let that thing go. Another meaning of the word hold and fast together, the two words together, hold plus fast, means firmly fixed or unyielding. Unyielding. And so I want to start this morning with the first of these meanings. Now, what Job is saying is this. He is saying concerning all of the right qualities, all of the right things, all of the spiritual growth that God has put into my life. He is saying and giving a testimony here and saying, I will not let go of any of it. I will not let go of any of it. And so what does it mean to hold fast to our righteousness as a Christian? What does it mean? Number one, get more righteousness. Lay hold on it. Remember the definition, lay hold on it means get more righteousness. So when you see some righteousness that you need, when the Lord shows you some right thing, quality that you need to add to your life, when he shows you that, when you see the righteousness you need, lay hold of it. Lay hold of it. Get it. Possess it. Proverbs 4:13. Let me show you. Proverbs 4:13 puts it this way. Take fast hold of instruction to let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Take fast hold. Take hold of it. Possess it. Get it. Grab it. We moved to Snellville, Georgia about a year and a half ago. And we are so blessed. We lived in Granite City, Illinois, which is about 25 minutes from downtown St. Louis, Missouri. Oh, that reminds me, the Cubs and the Cardinals. I saw that out there. Spring program. Yeah, spring campaign. The Cubs and the Cardinals. Guess who I'm for? I don't know who you're for. Yeah, let's go. Let's go, spring campaign. Yeah! Who's on the Cubs? Who's on the Cardinals here? Oh. All right, I love it. Oh, yes, yes. Somebody told me when I came in this morning, there's a lot of enthusiasm here. Yes, aha, yes. Amen. Enthusiasm for the Lord and the Lord's work. Wow. Lay hold on it. So when you see it, possess it. We needed some drapes. And we have our daughter and son-in-law, our oldest daughter, have a very nice home in Snellville. And so they made an apartment for us in the lower walkout level. And so it's like woods back there. And we have our own private entrance and everything, two-bedroom apartment, just it more than we deserve. And thank God for it. I'll give God all the credit for it. And we needed some drapes. So we went to one store. I don't know if we went to... Maybe we went to Kohl's. We went to, I don't know, Bed and Breakfast. Oh, wait a minute. Bed and Beyond or something. And so we're looking for those drapes. Went to one store. Nah. Went to another store. Nah, they didn't have what we wanted. Went to another store. Whoa, that's right there. That's what we like. You know what we did? We laid hold on them, right? We saw we needed that. We laid hold on that. We took those things right up to the checkout, possessed those. We got those things, and that's what we need to do with our spiritual characteristics. And, one of the exciting things you can do is to take your grandkids to the dollar store, dollar and a quarter store now, and one of the exciting things you can do. Get your grandkids in there. You know, sometimes we take a whole four grandkids at one time. Woo! Our youngest daughter also lives about 15 minutes from us, and they go to Peachtree Road. And so sometimes we'll take all four grandkids. So Brother Ross, I say, okay, now you each can pick two things. Well, that's $8 right off the top, you know. Well, no, wait a minute. Now it's $10 now, right? And And so two things. Well, you know, and sometimes the littlest one, Kale, and of the four, and she'll have three things in her hand, Brother Ron. And she'll say, could I get these? And Grandpa has to do some teaching too, you know. And so I say, well, everybody just gets two. But then I walk to the next aisle, and I cave in, and I say, okay, everybody can have one item from the candy aisle. Did I camouflage that enough? Maybe not. And so when you go to the dollar store, look out, right? Right? I want to try to do this morning. I want to tell you a love story this morning. And so get ready. I want to tell you a love story. And I want to tell you this morning how I met Sybil. And so our parents, now we were in a denomination, and it was a Bible salvation preaching denomination, but that's what I left about 50 years ago or so now. But they had a campgrounds. And so once a year, they would invite all of the churches on that district, and they'd have a big camp meeting. It was, fired up preaching and so forth. And Sybil's parents would come down and stay maybe for a week. They had a little, like, temporary cottage there, you know, and several people had that. They would come down. And so after the main service, they would have a youth service in the smaller building next to the large building there. And so one night after the main service, I was driving up to go to the youth service, and I drove up and I pulled right up, right in front of the building in the parking space there, and I pulled right up, got out of the car. Now, let me back up and tell you this. Now, my parents had mentioned to me, probably my mother, about the Spray Girls. That's my wife's maiden name. And her mother had mentioned to her, maybe you should meet the Mustix boy. Well, her dad's a pastor. My dad pastored a church down out from the campgrounds. My dad pastored a church right there. And so I would go, sometimes if I was on the campgrounds or went somewhere during the day, I would be kind of looking for the Spray Girls. I heard somebody playing the piano one time in the big building, you know. I went over there and looked in the side door to see who was over there. And I don't know how I knew, but I knew it wasn't the Spray Girls, you know. And so that had happened, that little background, you know. And so I drove up there and I got out of the car. Just as I got out of the car, around, like over by the pew, around that corner came, oh my word, this beautiful young lady walking with another guy. And so she was walking around the corner there with a young man, probably my age, who was a member of my dad's church. And so she walked around the corner there, and I got out of the car. About the time I got out of the car and took a step or two up there, and she said to John, she said, I'd like to meet the Mustix boy sometime. And he said, well, there he is. And he introduced me to Sybil. I can still see that big, giant, she still has it, big, giant smile, oh my goodness, and beautiful dress with the big flowers on it. And I saw that big smile. I think probably I would say now it was love at first sight. You know? And so I met Sybil, and I immediately asked her if she would sit with me in the youth service. And I don't know where John went, but I didn't care. And so she sat with me in the youth service, and we enjoyed the youth service that night. And I'm just saying, when you see something you need, grab it, right? Lay hold on it. Lay hold on it now. Yeah, that's it. So Number one, back to the subject, if we can get back there. Number one, get more righteousness. Lay hold on it. Now, what we need to do, really, and it's not too hard, but we need to search for righteousness. Now, we'll search for it. You know where you can find righteousness, right? You'll find it while reading the Bible. You'll find it. You'll find something you need there. And grab on and lay hold to it and possess it. You'll find righteousness while getting advice from your pastor. Lay hold on it. Lay hold on it. Listen to what your pastor says when you ask advice of him. I'm thinking of a lot of things right now, but I don't have time, Brother Ross, about that advice thing. And, but do that. And you'll find a righteousness while getting instruction from your parents. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. You'll find righteousness there, something you need when you're getting instruction from your parents. And you'll find righteousness when you see the example of another Christian, someone else in your church family. You'll see righteousness. You'll see something in the Holy Spirit will say, boy, you need that. You need that. You need to be like that. You need to do that. You'll find righteousness in another example of someone in your church family. And you'll find righteousness when your conscience speaks to you. That's that inner voice of the Holy Spirit working within. You'll find righteousness while the invitation is offered after the preaching. You'll find it there. And you respond if the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And so, get more righteousness. Lay hold on it. Search for it. You'll find it. And then grab it. Take a hold of it. You can easily find righteousness. You can easily find it. And that's more right things to put into your life. And righteousness, you know, is rightness. That's what it is. That's righteousness. It's rightness. And the more righteousness you get, the better you can hold on to it. Number one, then, lay hold on righteousness. Number two. Now remember what Job said. Now he said, my righteousness I hold fast, verse 6, and will not let it go. My righteousness I hold fast, I will not let it go. Maybe you'll have that verse memorized by the time we finish here this morning. So number two, strengthen your righteousness. That word hold means to make firm or strong. It means to strengthen. Strengthen your righteousness. Strengthen it. Now, back to the love story a minute. Well, then, after that little encounter there with Sybil, I invited her to go with me to the main service the next day and then to the youth service afterwards. Let's see, two for the price of one? Something like that, you know, two birds with one. No, not two birds. And so I invited her. And so we went to the next night. Then we sat together at the main service. And then we sat together at the youth service. Oh, man. Oh, boy. Is this so good? Just so good. Boy, oh, boy. And so strengthen your righteousness. Strengthen it. And that's what hold means, to make firm or strong. I was working on that. Now, Job had already done that, as we read in chapter 1 of Job. And let me go back to that real quick. Job had already done this. Now, he had already made firm. He had already strengthened his righteousness. Job chapter 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Escheweth evil. You just can't stand it. It's like you want to spit it out, you know. Verse 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and you know the rest of the story. But the Bible says here that, notice the statement of verse number 8, and a perfect and an upright man. That means maturity. That word perfect doesn't mean sinless. It means maturity, strong. He had strengthened himself in the Lord. Job had already done that. That's why he could withstand everything he withstood, amen? Because he had already strengthened himself in the Lord. Job had done that. That word perfect means wholeheartedness. That word upright means righteous. And that's where Job was. Job was wholeheartedly righteous. He had been continually strengthening his right living. That's what he'd been doing. And that enabled him and God to work through him and make him the example for the entire world, for all of life here on this globe. Now, as Christians, we need to keep increasing our spiritual strength. We need to exercise our righteousness. Acts 24 and verse 16 tells us this, and we see this encouragement from Paul. Paul, Acts 24 and verse number 16, and notice, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." So Paul is saying, I exercise myself. I exercise on righteousness. We need to exercise our righteousness. Exercise means to strengthen. It means to grow. It means to become stronger. You know, and it means to strain, to strain. We need to strain to improve our spiritual life, our spiritual self. We need to strain to improve it. What happens and what a weightlifter does, right? And boy, he's lifting those things and he's got those weights out there, and man, he's straining and he gets those up there and then he puts on a little more weight out here. Oh, and he strains and he strains and he strains. He's serious, isn't he? He's serious about what he's doing. He's concerned about what he's doing. And he's determined about what he is doing. And so we need to strain to improve our righteousness. We need to strengthen the right qualities. We need to strengthen the right things in our Christian life. We need to keep doing them again and again and again and again. We need to keep making our righteousness stronger and stronger and stronger. We do that by practicing. We do that by seeing something we need in our life and getting it from the Lord and then repeating it and do it again and do it again and do it again and do it again. Maybe some of you perhaps have just started coming to all the services and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, keep practicing, keep coming. Strengthen that, I'll say habit, but strengthen that part of your character of attending the services of the church, all of them. Strengthen your righteousness. Keep working on it. Keep working on it and gain in your spiritual strength. Strengthen your righteousness. Number three, what does this word mean? This word means hold on to your righteousness. The word hold means to hold on. It means to hold firmly to something. Hold righteousness firmly to your life. Now, in order to do that, you need to guard your righteousness. We need to guard that and guard it against unrighteousness coming back. Love story. So I was working on my dad's house. My dad was building a permanent house. I was working at that one day. I was home from college in the summer. I was working on that house, and I had walked over near a window. I don't know if the windows were even in there yet, but over near a window, and here's a guy walking by right over there, and his name was it Greg? Monk? I think his name was Monk. And he saw me in there, and you know what he said? He said, I'm going to get a date with Sybil. I said, you can try. But then I was worried he would. The next time I saw Sybil, I'll tell you what I did. Man, I booked her up. I got a date for the next 3 days, every day in the week. Remember, I was home from college in summer. That was going to end. It was camp meeting time. She was going to go back with her parents and work. And so, boy, I'll tell you what. I just booked her up for the whole rest of the week. Hold on to your righteousness. Yeah. Guard your righteousness. Guard it. Guard it. I mean, the devil's continuously trying to strip it away. Look, you had something, you had spiritual growth to your life. You had something new in your life. You had a spiritual quality in your life. I'll guarantee you the devil will be there around the next pew right there to trip you and put you flat on your face about that thing and get that thing back away from you if he possibly can. Guard your righteousness. Guard it. Guard it. So important that we guard our righteousness. Be on guard against the unsaved, worldly crowd. Be on guard. Be on guard against them, the worldly crowd who cannot or will not see the difference between right and wrong. Psalm, let me turn. Take a minute, turn to Psalm here, and let's go to Psalm 112. Psalm 112, and beginning in verse number 5, Psalm 112, talking about a good man here. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Discretion means making good decisions, that kind of a thing. And surely he shall not be moved. Now, did you hear that? Surely he shall not be moved. Will not be moved. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of the evil tidings. His heart is, notice, fixed, trusting in the Lord. Guard, guard, guard your spirituality. Guard your Christian living. Make sure it is fixed. Make sure that quality you've grown into and that spiritual growth that you've made, make sure that stays fixed and stays a part of your life. And so, he said the next verse, look at this. His heart is established, established, established. Guard what is right in your life. Guard it, guard it. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. Now watch, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. But watch this. But the wicked shall see it and be grieved, and he shall gnash with his teeth, but melt away. The unsaved crowd doesn't like how we live. The unsaved crowd doesn't like righteousness. They don't like that in your life. They don't like that in my life. They don't like that. We need to guard ourselves against the unrighteous, worldly crowd and guard our righteousness. We have the liberals out there and always lying about the conservatives, always going on. The liberals always saying that now that Bible beliefs, what are Bible beliefs? Saying they are hate speech, and that's going on. That's going on. Guard against it. Don't be taken down by that. And we have the rampant immorality today, accepted by so many of the, well, accepted by the liberals. And by that I mean, I don't know, Pastor, I don't want to get in your territory here, but the liberals and all those groups over there and what you want to say about it. But we have all of that attacking everything that's right, everything the Word of God stands for. All of these things like that being accepted, illegitimate children, people living together, not married, all this wickedness. And it's okay. You know, No, it isn't. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And we know from the Word of God what is right. We stand for what is right. Stand for it. Stand for it. Don't let that go. And you know what is right. Guard your righteousness against all these sorts of attack. Nothing's right or wrong anymore. Yeah. That's what they say. That's not what the Bible says. Read Romans chapter 1. You'll know what's wrong. Read that. Read Galatians chapter 5, 17 through 21. You'll know what's wrong.
Yep.
It's not gray. It is black and white. But we need to guard against that. And folks, listen. Stay by your pastor when he gets up here and preaches against the world and that's creeping into the church and creeping into your lives. Listen and take heed. Oh, it is so dangerous. And it's so subtle, you know, and just a little thing here and a little thing there that gets accepted in your life because you're part of the family. And then it's a danger to the whole church family. And so guard your righteousness from the unsaved crowd. But wait a minute. Guard your righteousness from the saved crowd. And, you know, lack of righteousness is why saved people cannot see how important holy living is. And adding to our righteousness makes our spiritual vision improve so we can see why we should do the right things and we can see why we should not do the wrong things. And we need to constantly be guarding against those wrong influences. You know, I hate to say it, but it could be a wrong influence from a backslidden Christian. Be careful. Pray for them. Don't criticize them. Pray for them. But be careful. And because the way that works is then they try to influence somebody else. And then they try to influence somebody else. And then we have the creep of unrighteousness into the church family. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to turn there. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1. And I won't read all of that, but this is talking about the walk of a Christian, the life of a Christian. Verse number 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse number 10 and 11, proving that what is acceptable unto the Lord, not the world, unto the Lord, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That means call them out. First, call them out to yourself. That's where we need to work. That's where we need to guard. And so we need to keep on guard. We need to hold on to our righteousness. Hold on to it. Don't let go of it. And we'll have to guard against all of these things. Romans 8 talks about it, and Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Well, we're right there. Let's turn to that one. Philippians 2 and verse 5. 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what we need. Let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ, knowing what he tells us in the Word of God, thinking like he thinks, constantly. You know, one of the biggest battles, is it not? Is our thoughts. Oh boy. Biggest battle, one of the biggest battles we have. Can I tell you something? I'm getting up in the years. I can't believe it. Brother Ross. Brother Ross is a lot younger than I am. Yeah, don't let him go either. You know, don't let him retire 62 or 65, or I mean, you know. Well, anyway, I'm going to need to mind my own business now, Brother Ross. I need to mind my own business. But the mind of Christ, and that's what we need. And you know, the thought life, boy, that's a huge battle. And so keep at it. And you know, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and yield to him and ask him to help you and ask him to guide and guard and guide your thoughts. You have a thought you don't want to have, you've been trying to get rid of it, not think, you know, and pray if you get that thought you don't want, and pray, yield to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I want to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And I want to think like you think and not like the carnal nature thinks. And yield to the Holy Spirit and pray. Christ is our standard. He's our standard. Yes, there is a standard. Yes, there is. And it's the Word of God. And it's Jesus Christ himself. There is a standard. And so Christians must hold fast. Hold strong. have our righteousness firmly fixed. That word means firmly fixed, not loose. That's a good thought. Firmly fixed, not loose. We need to have it that way, and so that we can live and be a testimony for Christ and an encouragement to each other. You know, Christians lacking their righteousness makes it easier for wickedness to prevail. You realize that? You realize that? Whether it's in the church, whether it's out there. And so guard, hold on, Christian, to your righteousness. Hold on to it. Number four. Never yield any of your righteousness. Never yield it. Never yield it. Back to Job 27, verse 6. I'm just going to do it over and over. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. Will not let it go. The last part of that verse is really good too. And he says, my heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Ooh. So he's going to keep his heart right with the Lord long as he lives. And so he's not going to do something, say something, and his heart says, No, shouldn't come out of here. Get your heart right. So that doesn't come out. Number four, never yield any of your righteousness. Never yield it. Unyielding. That word hold plus fast means unyielding. Do not give up doing what is right. Do not give up. Do not give up. In Psalm chapter 18, verse 21. Notice what it says. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. What a testimony. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I did not put them away. I did not put away the statutes of the Lord. We have, you see these three words in the Old Testament. You've been reading your Bible, you know, righteousness commandments, statutes, and judgments. You have commandments. Those are the righteous will of God, period. Then you have statutes and you have ordinances. Those are the same. Those govern the religious life of the people. And then you have judgments. Those govern the social life of the people. All of those are God's laws. All of them. And never yield. And the psalmist is testifying here and he is saying, I'll tell you, I did not put away his statutes from me. I did not do that. And what a marvelous testimony. And so, Christian, here today, do not give up what is right. Do not give it up. Keep on doing the things that are right. Don't let go of doing those right things in your life. Don't let go of following God's rules. Don't let go of following God's instructions. Don't let go. Don't let go. Never yield. Never yield. Never yield. Do not yield away. Do not let go of your Christian qualities that you have learned to live. Don't let go of your daily Bible reading. Don't let go. Don't heal. Can't do it today. No. Don't heal. Don't yield to that. Don't yield to skipping. Don't do that. Don't yield to not having your personal prayer every day. Don't yield to that. Don't have time. No. Don't yield. Don't yield to that. Do not yield. Never yield any of your righteousness. And Job testifies, I will not let it go. I will not let it go. I will not do that. Don't let go of your faithful church attendance. Don't yield to that temptation. Well, I just can't make it Wednesday night. No, don't yield to that. Don't yield to that. That's the devil working to push you backwards. And not to let you grow. No, don't yield to that. Do not yield away your righteousness. Do not yield it away. Don't yield away the things you've quit. The bad habits. Don't yield again to that. Don't yield again. Don't yield away the right things that you started. Respect for God's word, King James Bible. Don't yield that away ever. The Bible tells us in Psalms 12, 6 and 7. There is a pure word of God. And then it says, and it is eternal. God is preserving it eternally. There can't be a dozen pure words of God, right, Brother Ross? Can't be a dozen of them. the Bible says they're a pure word of God. A pure word of God. Do not yield any of your righteousness. Don't yield away that spiritual growth that you've had. Don't yield it. Don't yield it. Don't give up. Don't let the devil grab that away from you. And what we want to do today, what I want to do today is, boy, I just want to shout with Job, my righteousness I hold fast. I will not let it go. I will not let it go. My righteousness I hold fast. What does it mean to hold fast our righteousness? Get more righteousness. It means strengthen your righteousness. It means hold on to your righteousness. The right things in your life. It means never yield any of your right living. Never, ever. Do not yield. Do not yield. When you get the right thing into your life, don't let it go. What did Job say? I want to read it one more time. In his words, God forbid that I should justify you till I die. Will not remove mine integrity from me. That's one important quality to be sure. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. I hold fast my righteousness. I hold fast. I will not let it go. Love story. I need to finish the love story. Good thing I had it written down here. Well, so then, you know, I had to go back to college. And Sybil was working, I believe, then. And we both had jobs. And so I got to the place where, you know what I did, guys? I had to go talk to Dad. Wasn't that fun? Do you remember that? And you went and talked to Dad. Remember that? And so finally I asked Dad, had to ask him if I told him we were wanting to get married, would that be okay with him? Well, you can guess, he said yes. And then I had to go back to college. And so I wanted to get an engagement ring. And so my father-in-law helped me with that. And so we'd gone and picked them out. And they needed to be sized. And so I gave the money to my father-in-law. And I was coming back from college one weekend to see Sybil. I don't think she knew I was coming. And so I asked him if he'd help me. He went and picked up the ring for me. You know, I've thought about that. Picking up the ring this guy's going to give to your daughter. Man. Boy, he was a great man, and he was. He was a great pastor, and so was my dad, and so I came, and he had the ring, gave me the ring. So I think we went down to the shores of Lake Michigan, and I officially asked Sybil if she would marry me, and gave her the ring. I'm talking about never yielding any righteousness. Now we're getting somewhere. And then her dad and my dad both married us. That's unyielding. Oh my. It's been a wonderful, wonderful life with Sybil. We do not and have not yielded each other to anybody else. Unyielding, unyielding, unyielding. Young couples, unyielding, unyielding. Don't even ever mention the word divorce. Don't even mention it. Unyielding, unyielding. Don't even talk about it. Come to see the preacher. Come and see Pastor Ross. He'll help you. But unyielding. And so now it's been unyielding for August of this year. It'll be our 60th wedding anniversary. There's our love story right up to date. There this morning. Never yield any of your righteousness. That was for point number four. Never yield your righteousness. Now, I want to say this before I quit. This morning, I don't know. I do not know you folks, except you are wonderful folks. I can tell by your singing and and your spirit. But if there's anybody here today and you do not know for sure, if you're to die, you'd go to heaven. Don't leave this morning without knowing that. That's the start of your righteousness. You can't do the things I've been talking about here this morning without Jesus Christ, the righteous one, in your life. And if you do not know that today, and it's one of the most wonderful things. We stopped at a McDonald's on the way. And there was a young guy sitting there, one of the employees. Young guy, graduated from high school, I found out, the previous year in 21. His name was Jesse. And I gave him a tract. And asked him, and I talked with him a little bit, gave him a tract. And I have some of these here, how to know 100% for sure, without doubt, that you would go to heaven. Had him a track. I'd ask him if he knew that. And he said, I don't know that. And so I took the scripture, got out my testament. It's like people looking for their cigarettes. Got out my testament. You rarely ever catch me, ever, ever, without this in my pocket. And so I got my script, my Bible out. He followed. And Jesse prayed to accept Christ. And trusted Christ to be saved. Jesse, there's nothing greater, right, in life or eternity than to know Christ. Maybe someone's here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior. Please don't leave today. Please do not leave before trusting Christ. Let's pray, and I'll, Brother Russell, I'll turn it back to you. Dear Jesus, how we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for the wonderful Holy Spirit. I pray now that you bless us and help us in this invitation time in the service this morning, Jesus. I pray in your name.